punching the time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good morning to all you great students of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. It's a nice, beautiful day out there. Sun's shining. Looks like Mangum, Oklahoma's a hot spot. Actually, probably in the whole state, 65 degrees. Arnett, 61. Hooker and Beaver both, 54 degrees. Woodward, you're 61. And who is this right here? I've never said the May Ranch is 62. I've never said that one before. Have now. Anyway, it's a beautiful day. Looks like the wind is going to be a little breezy today. Currently right here at the Elk City Mezzanette, it's out of the southeast at 23 with gusts up to 29. The humidity is 45. And rain is on the way for some parts of western Oklahoma. Just depends on who you listen to and what you look at, who's going to get it. But right here, looks like the gut of it's going to be in southwestern Oklahoma with an 80% chance of rain. And we'll have that forecast coming up for you later on. Well, for the last two or three days, I've been announcing about Governor Stitt and Joy Hofmeister having a debate or talk, whatever you want to call it, down there at Lawton, for sponsored by the Oklahoma Farm Bureau and the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. There was going to have a talk about there, and I don't usually bring politics onto the show, but I really, really, really highly am disappointed in Joy Hofmeister. She didn't show up yesterday, and this has been on the books for a couple months now, and plan, supposed to be there, and I guess, I don't know, I didn't fact check this part of it, but I guess she went to get her new motor home to go see rural Oklahoma. So anyway, just want to let you guys know that your vote does count. I don't care what you say. I talked to people before, and everybody's talked to that one person that says, no, I didn't vote. My one vote ain't going to make no difference. Believe me, it does matter. And early voting has started in most areas, if not all. And then November 8th, I believe it is, a week from this coming Tuesday, is time to get out and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for or nothing like that. That's your business. I vote for who I want, and that's my business. But anyway, your vote does count, so please, please vote. If you want things to remain the way they are, then in the United States, and or if you want changes, or you just like it the way it's going right now, then just get out there and vote. Everybody's vote matters. Everybody says, well, Lawton and Oklahoma City and Tulsa, they're what dictates what happens in Oklahoma. Nah, not true. Not true at all. So go vote, please, and let people know how disappointed we are that somebody didn't show up at Lawton yesterday. I was on the fence about I am still on the fence on the way I'm going to vote for everything, not just the governor and everything. But, you know, that's not off to a good start if you don't show up where you're supposed to. She wasn't in a hospital. She was out getting, if you look on their Facebook page, she was out getting their motor home, their new one, to go visit people in rural America, rural Oklahoma, which is rural America, instead of going down there and talking to the governor and answering questions from Oklahoma cattlemen and Oklahoma Farm Bureau members. So anyway, it is what it is. So let's just move on. Also, friendly reminder going on. You still have time to get there. Going on right now in Beckham County at the county barn there. The OSU Extension Office is having a deal where you can get your CEUs. They've already got the morning done. And this afternoon, they're going to be talking about pasture weed management there in Sayre. And also going on in Roger Mills County, They're having theirs, also having theirs right now at the out west of town there. Dan Cook is, and they're having the same thing, the pasture weed management, and you can get three CEUs. So if you forgot or didn't remember that was going on today in Roger Mills and Beckham County, you still got time. Load up in the one ton, put your cowboy hat on, and put her in gear and burn about $50 worth of diesel speeding, and you can get to Cheyenne or Elks or Sayre and get to that class. It'll be over. It's just 3 hours. It's 3 hours of your day. It's too windy to be doing anything else anyway. Some guys probably finish it up sowing some weed or something, but if you need your CEUs, it's a good time to do it. So anyway, that's just a friendly reminder. All right, let's check out what's happening with the grain market. Corn. Everything's in the red today, but soybean meal, what else is in the red? Everything's in the red except for live cattle. Feeder cattle are in the red. Oil's in the green. December 680. March is 686. May is 685. Soybeans, 1379 for November. January is 1390. March is 1398. May is 1406. Soybean meal. December, $414.30 per short ton, $406.70 for January. March is $398.50. Soybean oil for December is $72.09. January, $69.35. And March is $66.70. Hard red winter wheat is for December, $9.31. March is $9.30. And oats is December, $3.54. March is $3.68. Scroll on down here. Cotton's going backwards again. December, 77 cents a pound. Also, March is $2. Cash grain prices at the elevators today. Let's see what's happening there. They got a new format. It's kind of hard for me to read here, but I'm going to check it out. There we go. Hard red winter wheat is $8.84 per bushel. Corn, $7.68. Milo is 708 and soybeans are 1369. All right, what is causing the chaos today? Even though this report says wheat futures were higher in overnight trading, they're down today. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading on a report that grain shipments from Ukraine have slowed. Exports from Ukraine have declined in the past 10 days, according to Rutgers, citing data from the country's farm ministry. Volumes so far in October are down 9% year over year. It's still not certain that the so-called Black Sea Grain Initiative, the deal brokered in July that allows grain shipments from Ukraine will be extended past the November deadline, and it is coming up. Also boosting prices overnight was the report from the Rosario Grain Exchange estimating that the country's wheat crop at 13.7 million metric tons, that's down from the previous outlook of 15 million tons. Soybean and corn were modestly higher in overnight trading on expectations from some drier weather next week. Wheat futures for December delivery gained 12.5 cents to $8.53 a bushel in Chicago. Kansas City added 10.75 to $9.51.5. Corn for December delivery was up 3.25 to $6.88.25. Soybean futures for January delivery gained 4.75 cents to $13.97.5 a bushel. Soy meal rose $3.50 to $4.12.20 a short ton, while soybean oil lost 0.34 cents to 73.08 cents a pound. Let's check out what's happening in the nation's weather real quick. Dry weather is expected to move into the southern plains starting tomorrow, increasing the chance of wildfires according to the National Weather Service. The potential exists for elevated fire conditions to increase in coverage across southwest Kansas this weekend. The fire risk will increase, elevated to near critical on Monday and Tuesday. In southern Oklahoma, however, thunderstorms are possible tonight. The storms may bring hail and wind gusts. The chance of rain for embedded thunderstorms will continue into the day Friday, primarily across southern Oklahoma, and western North Texas. Well, the new drought map was out, and there we go. Parts of western, southwestern Oklahoma are still in the D2, but the D4 is gone from around Hollis, Granite, Altus. The D4 is gone, but it's still in a D3, so the rains did relieve it a little bit. And looks like far northern Oklahoma, around north of Woodward, out in the panhandle by Hooker and all that area, you're in a D4. But there's still a lot of D3 left in Oklahoma. I would say, just guesstimating, probably 70% of Oklahoma, 75% of Oklahoma is still in at least a D3, and looks like about 20% is in a D4. Texas Panhandle, you're not looking too bad right now. All you're in a D1 and a D2. And southern Kansas, is the whole state of Kansas is in a basically a D3 or D4. So anyway, hopefully these rains coming this the night and tomorrow, and we got another shot of rain already next week. Hopefully everybody will get their share of the rain. So anyway, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about cattle, talk about burn bans. There's still burn bans going on in Texas and Oklahoma, out here in western Oklahoma also. We'll talk about that, and then later on, around 12:35, I'm going to have David Nolan with the, he's a field specialist for the Oklahoma Peanut Commission, on with me. We'll talk about what's happening with the peanut harvest coming up.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Neighbor, this is Frank Lucas. When I'm not helping Oklahoma families in Congress, Linda has me working cattle on the ranch. Unfortunately, I've seen cattle with more common sense than what we're getting out of Washington. I'll fight Biden's crushing inflation, make sure our military stands second to none, finish the wall, and stand up for Oklahoma's common sense conservative values. November 8th, I'd be honored to serve you. Paid for by Lucas for Congress.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 24th. 1,978 head were sold, 13 head of steers at 430 brought 207, 5 at 509 brought 184, 16 at 529 brought 181, 14 at 565 brought 175, 5 at 579 brought 170, 3 at 667 brought 144, 4 at 793 brought 171, 13 head of heifers at 438 brought 176, 9 at 507 brought 157, 3 at 570 brought 145. 4 at 646 brought 153, 3 at 665 brought 167, 18 at 669 brought 166.50, 4 at 1023 brought 130. Butcher cows were 7 to 80, butcher bulls brought 35 to 108, bred cows were 900 to 1375. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71 Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All righty. The text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. You can text in from anywhere you're listening from. It doesn't matter. And we are streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KCOFM.com. And we're also streaming live on our Paragon Communications app, which is free, FYI, for you on your phone. And, of course, we're on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. I'm glad you guys joined me today. We're going to have a great show today. I was sitting here about 10 till 12 today. I was getting worried where Jancy was. I was like, where's she at? And guess what? I remembered she's at the National FFA Convention. Her and I think four or five other kids from Merritt are at the convention right now, and lots of kids from Oklahoma are at the convention right now. I know Canute, I seen where they posted on Facebook, they left. Merritt's gone. I don't know all who else is gone. So anyway, I'm sure lots of kids are gone. Anyway, it's a favorite time of the year for FFA to get together in the blue jacket. So anyway, it's all good. Currently at the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center here in our studio, we are 62.1 degrees, 48% humidity, and we have, it shows we got an inch and a little over, how much should that be? 1.15, so that would be 11,150 ten-thousandths of an inch of rain today. Anyway, 1.15 inches it's showing, and I know we didn't get that today. And it says daily, it doesn't say monthly, so we'll see how that goes. All right, let's check out what's happening with the livestock. I believe right now, today's Thursday, right? Woodward's going on with their weekly feeder calf sale happening right now. Live cattle for October, 150-150. December is 153-52. February is 156-97. April is 159-57. Feeder cattle for October, 175.92. November, 178.25. Lean hogs, December, 85.35. February, 88.37. April is 92.22. Well, yesterday at Hobart, looks like the market is still steady, not up or down one way or another. They had steers weighing 300 to 400 pounds, bringing up to 204. 4 to 5 weights, bringing up to $1.89, $1.90. 5 to 6 weights was bringing up to $1.73. 7 to 8 weights was bringing up to $1.68. Heifers, for the most part, were steady. The 2 to 3 weights, $1.70. 3 to 4 weights, $1.78. 4 to 5s, $1.83, and the 5 to 6 weights, $1.60. Looks like the slaughter cows and bulls are just hanging in there where they have been here for the last 4 or 5 days. Slaughter cows, 75 was a high end, 94 was a high end for the bulls. So that's what was happening right there. How's that? Anyway, let's see here. Where am I going to go next here? Oh, burn ban. I was talking about the burn ban. There's still counties in Oklahoma under the burn ban. The majority of them are east of I-35, but there is some west of I-35. And the southern part of Oklahoma, or southwestern part, Cotton County is the only one with a burn ban going on right now. And this was updated today. Up north, different story. Cimarron County out in the Oklahoma Panhandle is under a burn ban. And Harper County, Woodward County, Major County, Alfalfa and Grant, you are still under a burn ban. And on Texas side, not too bad over there. It looks like Childress, Wheeler, and Lipscomb in our listening area, you guys are under a burn ban. But I will tell you, looking at this Texas outdoor burn ban, there is a lot of counties in Texas under a burn ban. So before you go out, do something crazy, please check your county for burn ban. I don't know what the fines are. I've never done it, so I never got caught because I ain't never burnt during the burn ban. But it could be expensive, especially in Texas, because they always doing things big in Texas. All right, let's see here. Nothing major going on as far as cattle going on. Markets are going good. Coming up the 21st of November at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, they will be having a special wean calf sale. Anyway, everybody's getting their wheat pasture in, or the wheat they did plant on early may be growing good. I was talking to a friend of mine over in North Canute earlier this morning, and he actually has some wheat pasture that's looking pretty good. So if you're needing some wean calves, they will be having one coming up November 21st. Matter of fact, I got 20 head I'm taking over there. They'll be weaned a total of 110 days. And I tell you what, I can thank the Lord for this grass staying as, and not been pure green, but it's been still edible. Those calves I got out west of Elk City on that Bermuda grass and native grass out there, I've not fed them 1 pound of feed in the last 3 weeks, and they've been out there chomping down on that green Bermuda grass after these little rains we've been getting the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they're fat as butterballs. But there you have, they're doing good. They look good. I'm almost worried they're too fat, but hey, what am I going to do? Cut them off on the grass. Coming up next week, next Tuesday, November 1st, at Fairview Livestock Commission, they will be a fall gathering for the OCA. And also Thursday, November 3rd, near Burns Flat, hosted by the Davis Angus Cattle Ranch, they will be having theirs. And then Thursday, November 17th, at the Metcalf Museum near Durham, there'll be a fall gathering for the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, and I will announce these 2 or 3 more times before those times are going up. So anyway, mark it on your calendar to go to one of these gatherings, because they are awesome gatherings. And okay, also one more deadline before I go to break, and then we'll get back with David Nolan with the Oklahoma Peanut Commission. The deadline is quickly approaching to make your reservations for the Dust Bowl Days Hall of Fame. You guys remember I had Joe Merrick on here early last week, actually a week ago Monday, talking about that. It's going to be really, I think it's going to be cool. Those, the two guys that will be there that are being inducted into that, they got some humor for them, some cowboy humor. But you need to make your reservations by the end of the day, coming up Monday, October 31st. And they do apologize for any convenience you may have trying to reserve online. There may be an active link on both the Sayre Chamber of Commerce website and the Dust Bowl Days Facebook page. And you might also drop your payment off to Kristen at the Sayre Floral, as well as all reservations must be paid prior to the dinner. Any questions, call Ms. Kay Allen at 580-729-0469 with any questions. And she was telling me earlier that, you know, the people that say they've mailing their checks, that they will have reservations made. And so if they don't, check doesn't get in by Monday, but they just need to know this so they can reserve the right amount of food for everybody coming. So she would appreciate that call. You can get a hold of Kay Allen with Sayre Chamber of Commerce anytime you need to, or just go online to their Facebook page or online to their website, Sayre Chamber of Commerce, and buy your tickets. It's going to be an awesome deal. They're inducting 3 cowboys into that thing. 2 of them will be there. 1's already passed, but it'll Joe Merrick will be worth it. Ask him. I don't know if anybody's listening, but you guys need to request Joe sing a song for you. And he will. He'll get up there and pick the guitar and sing a song for you. Anyway, when I come back, I'll have David Nolan with the Oklahoma Peanut Commission on here, and we're going to talk peanuts.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 21st. 2,227 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 469 brought 185. 7 at 506 brought 173. 11 at 538 brought 159.50. 7 at 589 brought 145. 3 at 667 brought 137. 13 at 678 brought 172.50. 10 at 821 brought 155. 12 head of heifers at 394 brought 176. 6 at 428 brought 167. 10 at 476 brought 164, 4 at 499 brought 155, 13 at 541 brought 159.50, 4 at 573 brought 143, 5 at 647 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 78.50, butcher bulls brought 54 to 107, bred cows were 600 to 1325, pairs brought 850 to 1335. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Northwestern Oklahoma Long Ranger forecast for today and tomorrow all the way through Monday. 61 currently at the Woodward Airport. Winds are out of the southeast with 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 30. Humidity is 42% up there. This afternoon, 20% chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, 70. High today is going to be 66, by the way. 58 tomorrow with a 30% chance of showers. Looks like it's going to be mostly cloudy. Saturday, beautiful day, 63. Sunday, 68. And Monday, 72 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now is the world-famous Oklahoma Peanut Commission field specialist, David Nolan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I've been waiting to get you on because peanut harvest is in full blast right now. I just couldn't wait to get you on the phone with me.
Well, it's been a, you know, we've had a tough year. Had a tough time getting started. Then we had all the drought and the heat. And the harvest shouldn't be any different. It's been tough to get things harvested this year. So it's stop and go, and it's been a challenge.
Now it's wet.
Yeah. It's we're nowhere near finished, and it just everyone's trying to get going, and it's just hard to do this year.
Well, how was this? I know you participated in the peanut blasting at both Caddo County and here in Beckham County. Did the harvest start kind of on track from the way you guys blasted the peanuts?
Yeah, from the they pretty much turned out. You know, we could tell from the heat. We had a lot of those 105 degree days. The plants just didn't bloom and didn't really. They weren't productive during that time period, and it set everything back about 10 days or so, or 14 days or so. So that's kind of where it showed up. You know, where you're looking about for about 145 days for the length of growth for a plant. So if you're planting May the 10th, you're going to be harvesting somewhere around the 5th of October. And after that, it pretty well showed that it's going to harvest needed to be closer to the 15th of October. So that's a late harvest for us to begin with. And a lot of some people waited. Some people had to get started early because they had a lot of acres.
Right.
But yeah, it's so harvest started later than normal. And then, you know, right after people got to digging, then we got showers. And so you can't really get them, you know, can't really combine them. And so, yeah, it's really been a challenge. So it's a little different in every area about how far along we are. We're nowhere near finished with peanut harvest.
Well, Caddo County was well ahead of Beckham, wasn't they?
Actually, they were pretty close. And it looks like possibly the yields might be a little better out in the Beckham area, but it's hard to tell just looking at fields, or even looking at a field when it's dug. It's sometimes hard to tell, you know, how much of that's mature and how that's going to grade.
Well, I know I'm helping out some of these guys over here with baling hay, and Gary's got his peanuts all dug now, and hopefully after this rain, things maybe Monday or Tuesday, things will dry out, looking at the temperatures and stuff where we can get back at it and see, because I really don't know of anybody out here yet that just has a whole field harvested yet. They've got started, and then the rain came in, and it'll probably be dry enough maybe to try some today for a little bit, but then them storms are moving right back in this evening, so I don't know if anybody really knows what's going on yet.
That's right, and from what I've heard, I've talked to a few growers out in Beckham County. It sounds like pretty much everything's dug for the most part.
Yes.
And only a small percentage probably been harvested of what's out there. Probably, you know, there's over 4,000 acres out there in that area, probably closer to 5, and it's hard to tell where they're at. But yeah, where this shower is going to set them back several more days. I guess on the bright side is there's no freezing weather really in the next 9-day forecast. So if we don't get too much moisture tonight, maybe we're somewhere around November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Maybe they can do some threshing,
yep,
get going again. Or maybe hopefully sooner, but I mean, that's just, if we can get 3 good days in a row before the next shower, that would be something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that frost last week kind of delayed a lot of stuff. So he's like, I'm not going to dig my peanuts yet. So.
Right. Worked around that. And usually, you know, what I put on my website a little letter that came from the Georgia's peanut specialist, and he said, you know, if you're going to dig, you don't want to dig within 48 hours of a frost, you know, of a freeze. So that's kind of what, you know, to avoid freeze damage. And I don't know of anybody that was really digging right before that. So I think the guys were really good at managing around that freeze. And then since like I said, we've been pretty much above freezing. We're supposed to stay above freezing the rest of the way. So hopefully. You know, don't know much past the 9-day, but at least the 9-day forecast looks pretty good, except, you know, maybe next weekend another shot at some moisture.
Right.
I know the wheat guys would love to have the moisture, but people who are trying to harvest cotton and peanuts are probably just assumed we'd miss a shower here or two.
Oh, yeah. I got some corn coming up in a couple of weeks, but I'm going to sit here and just be quiet. you led me into a question I had for you. Not everybody knows about peanuts, because what is there, 30,000 acres in Oklahoma probably around total?
No, it's really, we were just almost 17,000 acres.
Okay, all right. And
that is from where we've been the last couple of, last few years.
All right.
So it is trying to come up, but it's been slow. We'd love to see more acres. I think the seed companies would like to see more acres, so in Oklahoma, and I think it's probably coming. We just have to, a lot of people, when the price went away many years ago, the price has been coming back, but people really haven't had enough confidence in the market to invest in combines and diggers to get back into the peanut business. And once people see, hey, I think it's going to be here, maybe we'll get a few more people, get a few more farmers, because we have a lot of experienced growers, a lot of experienced peanut growers that aren't growing peanuts right now.
Right.
We'd like to see them get back in it.
Well, besides your normal stuff like input cost and having plenty of water, why did Oklahoma drop backwards? What was the deal? Because of price mainly?
Well, it was in 2002 we lost our government subsidy for the peanut program.
Okay.
We had an excellent subsidy that was started all the way back to World War I. Back when they used diesel, they used peanut oil instead of diesel in diesel engines.
Right.
So it goes all the way back to that. And so that the government needed that peanut oil, especially submarines. They burn a clear oil. Peanut oil burns clear. So if you have a diesel engine motor, diesel fuel in the submarine, you got black smoke coming out of the water, it's pretty easy to find that submarine. So you can see why the government wanted that peanut oil for fuel. And but that program just kept going even after World War II and on past. So, but it ended in 2002. And when we lost that, we lost our price and we lost our acres. We went from, we were probably somewhere around 100,000 acres and went all the way down to just a few thousand. Caddo County went from 30,000 all the way down to, a couple thousand acres. So, and then as time's gone by, the price has slowly been coming back, and it's just a different structure now.
Yeah, because I remember growing up, like back in the 70s, when we'd go to Binger or Fort Cobb or somewhere through there, man, you talk about peanuts going down 152. That's all they was.
Peanuts everywhere.
Good old days. And I remember crows being everywhere too at certain times of the year. I guess what you guys need to do is, this might be silly, but I'm a silly guy, you guys need to see if we can get this peanut fuel back to going because of all this going green stuff. I mean, you're saying it's not smoking, so it it must be part of the carbon plan.
You'll be surprised. Texas A&M is working on peanut varieties specifically for fuel.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, there are some large grants being put out by some of the oil companies, actually. So that is, they are working on that again.
Oh, man, I should have went to college. one of my questions is also for you, and we're sitting here having a conversation, what is the, how's the quality been? Have you heard?
Actually, the grades are better than we expected, with the heat and not sure about maturity, we were really worried. Now, we had a couple of fields that were harvested really early that didn't have quite the grades that they require, but that wasn't common across the board. What we're seeing are some pretty good grades coming in. They are drying down and grading okay, and so we've waited. The guys let them mature. They had the discipline to do that, and now we just got to get them out and hope the yields are there. So the verdict's still out on how much the heat hurt our yields, but I think it looks like we're going to be pretty good. We're getting some pretty good reports, but we've harvested such a small percent of the crop that it's just too early to tell right now.
Well, I know the ones that I've taste tested over there by Hex and the one over there by my house is they're really good. Now, I don't know if my grading is as good as what the plants do, but I just love peanuts. I'm sorry. I'm not even supposed to eat them. It's not going to kill me if I eat them because I'm not that allergic to it. It's part of my Get Healthy program, but, man, I can sit there and chomp on them. I got some on my truck. There's a bag of them, raw ones in here in the office. So, anyway, it's just good stuff is all there is to it. I don't know how the world could survive without peanuts. But
my kids would have starved to death without peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and growing up, so they eat them every day.
Well, one question for you, because since the last time you come on last year, we've added 100.1 KWFX. They're doing the show live too up at Woodward, so we got basically all of Western Oklahoma covered. And there's probably not a lot of people familiar with peanuts, and on this frost. These freezes and these frosts, if it's done within a couple, if you do dig one day and it freezes or frosts the next day, what's the damage and what caused the damage?
Well, it's, you know, if you damage that peanut, that water freezing inside that peanut's just is going to affect the quality and it's going to go bad. Our contract that the growers have that they started last year was a zero freeze contract. So, you know, they're not worth anything if they freeze.
After a couple, two or three days, they dry out, correct, where the frost won't hurt them so much?
So, yeah, if you can just get the moisture down, the percent moisture in that peanut down, if you can dig it, let it dry out for a few days, and then rarely do we get hurt unless it's really a hard, cold freeze, you know. So, well, we're just trying to avoid that, freeze. And fortunately, I think our average in our Ducato is somewhere in the around the 24th, 25th, 26th for our average freeze of October. Well, we're already past that. And so we're doing pretty well with the weather. It's allowing us, I think it's going to allow us to get the crop out, but we're still going to need a little luck on avoiding some of these showers, maybe.
Yeah, because we're going to be well up into November before we're done, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, David, thank you so much. David Nolan with the Oklahoma Peanut Commission. He's the field specialist for them. And how do people find out more about the peanuts and Oklahoma Peanut Commission?
Well, we have a website that I update, and that is www.okpeanutcomm.
Okay.
And it's all one word. And it's .org. Don't forget it's .org, not .com.
Okay.
Okpeanutcomm.org. And you can go on there, and what I do, I have a little blog. I just call it David's Blog. And you can go in there month by month and try to follow what I was posting as I was seeing through this past summer. And
Cool. And I'll check that out.
Yeah, and sure, check it out.
Yeah, we'll check it out, and thank you so much. And as soon as peanuts harvest is over and we're kind of getting some of the results, I'll have you back on, and we'll talk about how good or bad or middle of the run things was, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, yeah, we need a few prayers for peanut harvest.
Yes, we do, in a big way, because I'm a big fan of the peanut farmer. So anyway, we'll talk to you maybe here in 2-3 weeks.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, David.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye. All right. When we get back, I'll have the Southwestern Oklahoma Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
With a small farmer or a big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons of free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
When you shop locally for Christmas, you not only give, you receive. You receive great service from people who know you, and you receive the added value of helping our local economy. Shop locally this year. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Gift you get from giving, not the one you receive.
Riley Baca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Have you been working at your job for 20 or maybe even 30 or more years? If you have, then you're probably tired of watching your 401k and any IRAs you have go down in value. Hello, I'm Briley Baca with Advanced Financial Strategies in Clinton. You've worked hard for your money, so why not protect a portion of it? The uncertainties brought on by inflation and the war in Ukraine could potentially keep the stock market volatility around for a while. With our retirement income plan, we can show you how to protect your hard-earned money. Investing for growth is only part of the picture. Our retirement GPS is an income plan you and your family can look at and reference in the future. It's hard to go to a place you've never been without your GPS, and retirement is no different. Call Brian or Briley Baca today at 323-6800 or visit our website, retirewithbaca.com, and schedule your complimentary visit and get your retirement GPS.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. I love that man. He knows his peanuts, and peanuts are cool crop. Not everybody can grow them. Like I said, a lot of growers got out when the market went down here about 20 years ago or so, and it's not a cheap crop to raise, and things can go wrong just like any other crop. But peanuts, they need lots of water and need lots of attention. And anyway, we got finally somebody texts me in from Woodward. I'm listening from KWFX 100.1 Woodward. Enjoying your show. Anyway, thank you for texting in. All right, let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Looks a little wet for the next 36 hours or so. Currently at the Elk City Mesonet area, we got 63 degrees. The wind is out of the south-southeast at 24 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 30. Today, 20% chance of storms, 67 for a high. Tonight, 80% chance of rain shower and thunderstorms, 47 for a low. Tomorrow, 55 for a high. Winds will be out of the north tomorrow, 60% chance of rain, which is good. Saturday, 61, light wind. Sunday, 66, light wind. And Monday, 69 with light winds also. All right, let's check it out. Anyway, I wanted to discuss this. I've been wanting to talk about this for a week now. Fear drives one of the most common mistakes irrigators make during the season. That mistake, making one last application when the soil profile already has plenty of water to finish off the crop to assure their top yields. The rule of thumb is to have the crop draw existing water into the top 4 feet of the field down to 40% of its capacity, explains Mr. Steve Melvin with the University of Nebraska. Melvin has worked with Aaron Nitron and Troy Ingram on irrigation management. This rule, general rule, has been proven not to sacrifice yields. University of Nebraska irrigation scheduling recommendations encourage irrigators to allow the crop to continue using more of the stored soil watering starting in August and into September when the crop matures. The recommendation is to lower the soil water levels from the usual summer watering level of more than 50% plant available water. How's that? To 40% available water in the top 4 feet of the soil. That's a lot of availabilities in one sentence. Thus, the stored soil water content should be significantly lower when the crop matures in September than earlier in August. During the heart of the season, we recommend keeping available soil water level above the 50% depletion level. To do this, we recommend irrigating as the soil water level approaches 35% depletion. As we end get near the end of the season, we can push the threshold to 60% depletion. However, surveys show many irrigators are applying more water late in the season than is needed. In some years, a significant rain can cause the soil to be wetter in September. However, usually the excessive soil moisture is caused by applying more irrigation water than really needed. The data does not give any insight into why so many fields get wetter, but it could be because the irrigation routine is set in July when the plants are in top condition, transpiring at their peak level. Melvin also says adding this at the time of the days are long and the temperatures are high. Then as we move later into the summer and the daylight shortens and the temperatures get lower, we keep irrigating like we did in July. Even though water use for corn has gone from an average of 0.30 inches per day at silking to 0.18 inches per day at full dent, other crops have a similar drop in crop use water as well. Besides saving pump cost and staying within water allocation limits, following the 40% rule leaves room to store off-season precipitation. It also reduces the potential for leaching nutrients such as nitrogen deeper into the profile. Melvin also states that in states like Nebraska, adequate precipitation will be received from October through May to refill the soil profile. Also, leaving the soil drier helps reduce harvest delays because of mud and wetter falls. And that makes sense. One thing to note is the time needed for corn to mature is dependent on growing day, degree days, and corn needs 5 inches of water to reach maturity, and we receive some hot and windy days, the corn will still use 5 inches and will just finish up a few days quicker. In contrast, soybean maturity is dependent on day length. Thus, it must be difficult to determine the actual correct growth states. So it's important to monitor soil water until maturity. And I did learn that. And there are also tools out there, such as the ET gauge and soil water sensors can come into play. So anyway, if you're an irrigator and you want to save some water, because water is worth a lot of weight in gold these days, check out some tools to help you. I learned this is my first year in corn, growing corn down there, and I've had help from some really good friends and business acquaintances, and I've learned that, carry a little shovel. I carry a shovel. I don't have a gauge, but I carry a shovel. And, you know, I was digging down 18 inches when it was hot, but the canopy of the corn standing 10 foot tall was also helping shade the ground. And I'd have 18 inches of soil. So instead of socking an inch to it, I might sock 10, because it uses a lot of water up until almost that Denton stage. So I took some really good notes this year, and just let you guys know, I end up having to put 13 inches of rain, of water from irrigation on this corn crop, and I got 2.5 inches of rain, actual rain, so 15.5 inches, and I've got a pretty decent crop, and we'll see how it turns out here about 2 to 3 weeks when we get ready to harvest it. So anyway, just wanted to help give you a note out there to your irrigators. You might be irrigating too much. You never know. Save some electricity. Anyway, see you guys tomorrow. Friday, the big day, the last day of the week. You guys have a great day. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. And God bless.